We all know that in Rosh Hashanah we blow shofar, and the word shofar appears in the Chumash. Ba'alaita shofar trua. It says on Yom Kippur Shal Yovel the word shofar appears. And the Mishnayos say that just like on Rosh Hashanah you have to blow shofar, so too on Yom Kippur Shal Yovel you say the same nusach for the Shmon Esrei. Malchus Chayna shofaris. We don't have any Yovel today. The Gemara says you only have Yovel is mancha kol yoshvecha aleho. When the majority of the world Jewish population is living in Eretz Yisrael, and you have Shevet Binyamin living together, and Shevet Yisachar living together, but we don't have that today, so we don't have any Yovel. We just have Shemitah, every seventh year is Shemitah. But b'zman that you have Yovel, so Yom Kippur Shal Yovel, you're supposed to blow shofar the same as Rosh Hashanah, and you're supposed to recite Malchus on the shofar, and blow the shofar in the middle of the Chazaras HaShatz at the conclusion of Malchus, at the conclusion of Zechronis, and at the conclusion of Shofar. So the word Shofar appears in the Chumash, that's where we got it from. So the Ramban had a famous debate with the Meshumed in Spain about the validity of the Jewish religion and the validity of the Christian religion. Ramban won the debate, but he had to leave Spain because the church was out to get him. So he snuck out. In hiding, he left Eretz Yisrael, and he gave the first Rosh Hashanah, he was there, he gave a drasha. It must have been 6 hours long. He gave a long drasha, which he wrote up. It goes to all the dinim of Rosh Hashanah, and all the Mekurvis and the Gemara. So he discusses the word shofar comes milosh and shvoferis, a straw or a tube is a shvoferis. So he says, if you have an animal that has a solid horn, that doesn't have any flesh inside, and you drill a hole through the horn, and now you can blast, you can make a sound, that's not kosher for a shofar. Has to be a horn that's full of flesh, and you scrape out the flesh. The Gemara says, even if you didn't, by us, they always scrape out all of the flesh inside. But the Gemara says, even if you didn't scrape everything out, you just scraped, you just took a little bit out, you drilled a hole through the flesh, that's also a kosher shofar. But if you would have a solid horn that has no filling in the inside, that's not a shvoferis, that's not kosher. That's klal number one the Ramban has, based on the usage of the term shofar. Then the Ran, and the Riv has a comment. He quotes the Gemara in Bamei Madlikin. The Gemara says, when you write a Sefer Torah Tefillin and Mezuzah, you have to write it on parchment. The parchment comes from, started off as hide of a kosher animal. If you're going to take the hide from an elephant, the hide from a horse, or the hide from a pig, so that's not acceptable. That's based on the passing of Chumash that says we should wear Tefillin lemantir teres Hashem beficha kibar chazaka tziach Hashem in Mitzrayim. So the Poshet, the translation, Pshut to Shal Mikra, and the Pasuk means, you should lay Tefillin, and you should talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Tefillin should, in the Tefillin it says about Yitzias Mitzrayim, but we don't open up the Parshias. So the Man Tiyo Tas Hashem Efich, we should talk, while we wear Tefillin, after you put on the Tefillin, we should talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim. We recite Kriya Shema, the third Parsha of Kriya Shema, we recite when we're wearing the Tefillin, we talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim. So that's the Poshet Pshat. L'man Tiyo Tas Hashem Efich, you should discuss Kibyach HaZakah. And the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. The Torah Shavuot has another interpretation. Leman tia Torah Hashem beficha. You should write the parshias of the tefillin and the mezuzah and the Sefer Torah on parchment that was made from hide from a kosher animal. That's minamuta beficha. You're not allowed to use the hide, even though strictly speaking, the hide from a non-kosher animal is kosher, but it's not edible. In order to be treif for food, it has to first be food. If it's not royal achila, so it's not food. Let's say you take the horn of a treifa animal, or you take the hooves of a treifa animal. The horn and the hooves are not edible, only the flesh. Bisar behem etmeya is also. Bisar treifa, bisar nevela is also. The kanaim and the tlofim is mutter, it's not royal achila, but nonetheless, and the hide is also not edible. So strictly speaking, if you want to, you can eat the hide of a non kosher animal. But still, the Gemara says you may not write tefillin on the hide of a non-kosher animal, but you may write tefillin on the hide of an nevela or a treif of a kosher animal. It doesn't really depend whether the hide, whether it's kosher or treif. It depends on the min ha-behema. If it's a min behema tmeya, or min oif tamei, so you're not allowed to use that hide to make parchment from. So the Gemara has this drasha benegeh to the parchment which you use for the purpose of writing. Toras Hashem, you write Toras Hashem. What about the batim, the parshios, the klaf on which you write the parshias has Torah Hashem has to be written amin amutah. What about the batim? So the Gemara says the Baishal Rosh has two shins, The Gemara is not so clear that two. We have two shins, one on one side, one on the other side. The Gemara sounds like there's only one shin. Whatever the Zohar has about the two shins. So the Gemara says the shin and the bias is also an ois of divitur. It's also Torah Hashem. If a person has the ability to sit and learn for an hour and to learn up a Mishnah and a Daf Gemara, and he just reads one letter, so he's not yoytze divitur. But if all the person can learn is one letter, so limanat Torah, it's also a kiyum of Talmud Torah. To learn one letter is also Torah Hashem. So the Gemara says that the bias shel rosh, since it requires a shin, so also is governed with this rule. You may not make a bayis shorosh from or behemoth tameya. What about the ritzuas? You don't have any oisius on the ritzuas. So the Gemara says it's, or the bayis shel yad for that matter. You have no oisius on the bayis shel yad. So theoretically, you should be able to use hide to make ritzuas from a non kosher animal. The Gemara says no. There we have a halacha lemoshe misinai. So the Gemara says this halacha Moshe Misinai applies to the ritzuas of the tefillin, applies to the bayis shel yad, which doesn't have any oisius. The Gemara says it applies to the oris tchoshim, the mishkan and the midbar that Moshe Rabbeinu made. It's like a beis hamishkan, beis hamikdash, but a beis hamikdash is a permanent, a beis halamim. It's called beis hamikdash is permanent, and the mishkan was only temporary. So part of the Mishkan was that they needed Oris Techoshim, hide from a Tachash animal. So the Gemara says, what's the story with this Tachash animal? Was it a kosher animal? Was it a Trevan? We have no way of knowing now, because Tachash only existed in the days of Moshe Rabbein. Today there is no Tachash. So how do you know whether they had Malagir, Mafis, Farsa? Was it a kosher animal? So the Gemara says, it must have been a kosher animal, logically, because if it would have been a Behemoth Tameya, how would you be permitted to use the hide from a behemoth tamei the hukshul the malach shamayim or behemoth tor bilvad? So the Gemara says the oris tchoshim, which was the kisui, the roof on the mishkan, has the same status like the ritzuas and the tefillin. They're both used for the purpose of tashmishi kedusha. The mishkan has kedusha and the tefillin have kedusha. So you're not allowed to use or behemoth tamei. So the Gemara only has it on these few cases: the ritzuas and the bayis shel yad and the oris tchoshim, the hide from the tachash animal that existed in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, that they weren't allowed to use that if the tachash would have been a behemoth man. What about by tashmishei mitzvah? Let's say you make a chalitza shu. Chalitza shu doesn't have any kedusha, but you use the chalitza shu to fulfill a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to perform chalitza. What about shofar? You're going to have a shofar from a non-kosher animal. You're going to have a chalitza shu. All the shoes, all the leather that we use for shoes is all horse leather. So the chalitza shu, tesis in Perek Mitzvah Chalitza, there's one little Perek in Yevamos, that's the easiest Perek. Perek Mitzvah Chalitza. The rest of the Masechta is very complicated. But Perek Mitzvah Chalitza is self-contained, just has the Mitzvah Chalitza, that's the easiest part. Yevamos is famous to be one of the three most difficult Masechtas in Shas. But Mitzvah Chalitza is the easy Perek. So Rabbeinu Tam is quoted by the Tosfos in Perek Mitzvah Chalitza that you cannot make the Chalitza shoe from horse leather. It has to be made from Or Behemoth Torah. So this is a question. The chalitza shoe is only a tashmishi mitzvah. The Gemara divides all religious articles into two categories. You have tashmishi kedusha, you have tashmishi mitzvah. So the parchment for the sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzah has to be our behemah Torah. That's tashmishi kedusha. Tashmishi kedusha. What do you do if you have an old mezuzah that's puzzled, you can't fix it? You have an old sefer Torah. So you're not allowed to throw it in the garbage. You have to put it in Shemus. So that's the Lashon HaGemara. Megillah has a braisa tashmishi kedusha on nignozim. When the zman mitzvah is up and you can no longer use it, so you have to bury it in Shemus. But tashmishe mitzvah, if you have an old lulav, what do? You put the lulav in Shemus. You have an old esrig, you have an old sukkah, so you save the sukkah for next year. Let's say it's an old sukkah, I'm not going to use it anymore, nobody else, the poor man down the block doesn't want it. I have an old talis, nobody wants it, the gabbai in shul doesn't want it, the anim don't want it, nobody wants the talis. So the Gemara says you don't put it in Shemus, you throw it out in the garbage. You shouldn't put it together with dirty diapers or with chicken bones or with fish bones. Yeah, so you put it in a separate bag and then you throw it in the garbage. But basically, you throw it away in the garbage. And the Gemara says Tashmishi Mitzvah on Nizrokim, you throw them away. As opposed to Tashmishi Kedusha, which on Nignozim, you have to bury it in Shemus. So that's what the Poskim are not so convinced. The Ran on the Rif writes a Sofek. If you have a horn from a non-kosher animal, may you use it for shofar? Does the halacha of lehuchshul lemalach shamayim ala or behem hatorah b'levad, does it only apply to tashmishi kedusha, or does it even apply to tashmishi mitzvah? It's not the same thing. So the Rama quotes lechumer. The Rama doesn't quote that the Rambam is stupid. Rama just quotes shulach. You shouldn't use from a non-kosher animal. About 25 years ago, there was a whole scandal. Some wise guy made a factory in Hungary, I think, or Ukraine, I forgot already the whole story. And he was selling shofars all over the world, and they blew perfectly. You didn't have to exert yourself, and all the shofars looked exactly the same. And he asked him, how did he do it? So he says, simple. He made a form, and he took all the shofars and he melted them. If you heat it long enough, it liquefies. He melted them, and he put it in the form, and they all came out exactly perfect. So the Rabbanut announced that you're not allowed to buy a shofar unless you have hashgachah, because that's possible. The Gemara says, Dibik Shiver Shofar, the Mishnah says. The shofar has to be Gedera Havarasa, the way it grew on the animal's head. Let's say you'll take, it grows on the animal's head, so the white part of the shofar that we hold on top, the sound comes out from there, so that's attached to the head of the animal. And the narrow part that we blow from, that's sticking up on top. So let's say you take a shofar, and you heat it till it becomes soft, and then you make the white part narrow and the narrow part wide. So the Gemara says, Hafocha v'toka, but if you made it inside out, then you're not yoytze, because it says, Bahavarta shofar truah. The pshuto shel mikra bahavarta means you should blast the shofar, you should blow at the shofar. The Gemara has an additional, Torah shel bal peh, has an additional level of interpretation. The havarta, that the cheptz of the shofar should be, kederach havaros, it should be in its natural form. So the Rishonim have two pshatim, the Mechaber quotes, they're both pshatim. What do you mean, Hafocha v'toka bo lo yotze? So the one pshat is, he took the white part and he stretched it together when it's soft, and he made it the narrow part. He took the narrow part and made it wide. So he's blowing backwards. He's blowing the opposite direction. And the other pshat the Rishonim give is, you made the shofar so soft, so you turn it inside out. Like you take a jacket, you can turn a jacket or a shirt inside out. So you can take a shofar and turn it inside out. So it's also no good. It has to be the original form, kederach havaros. So if you take shofars and you melt them, until you liquefy them, then you pour them in a mold. So that's not a shofar. That's not in the original form. So that's possible. So years ago, because of that scandal, so the Rabbanut made a whole tumult, and they said, you should know and should buy a shofar unless you have a hashgacha. Now you need a hashgacha and a shofar. What can be wrong with the shofar? Can have a wise guy made a form for the shofars. The Gemara says that there was a machlokes hatanoim. Exactly, what does the truah mean? The Chumash says you have to blow tekiah, truah, tekiah three times. The Gemara puts together all the psukim. You have to blow tekiah, truah, tekiah three times. Rashi says once for malchus, once for zechrenus, and once for shofus. And Rashi, it sounds as if he thinks that malchus, zechrenus, shofus is a din deraisa. Rashi and Chumash also on parshas Amor, when the Chumash rechenzes all the moyadim, you have three parshas in the Chumash that have parshas Amoyadim, you have parshas Amor. Then you have Parshas Pinchas, talks about the Musafim. Then you have Parshas Re'eh, talks about the mitzvahs, Pratiyos, the special mitzvahs. So Rashi comments on Parshas Amor, from the Pesukim you see that you have to recite the Malchus, Zechronis, and Shofas. So the Ramban quotes the Rashi, and he says, from the Rashi it would appear as if he thinks that the reciting of Malchus, Zechronis, and Shofas is a din deraisa. So he says, how can it be? We know that Tefillah is always mid derabbanan. Malchus, Zechronis, and Shofas is only derabbanan, it's not deraisa. And then he says, and even though the Gemara darshens from the Psukim, it's clearly only an Asmachta, because the Gemara has a din. In the last parak, the Gemara has a din. What if the fellow lives in a community where there's no shofar and there's no machzer? So he will not be able to daven Malchus Chayin Shofar, and he doesn't know Baal Peh. How many people know Malchus Chayin Shofar is Baal Peh? He doesn't know how to say the Musaf Baal Peh, and he doesn't have a shofar. And he only has enough money to go to a village nearby. He can't go to the big city where they're going to have the shofar and the machzer. He can either go to one village where they have a shofar but they don't have a machzer, or go to the other village where they have a machzer they don't have a shofar. So it's a toss-up. Should he go to the makam shtei ayar? Should he go to the ear where they have the shofar? Should he go to the ear where they have the machzer? So the price says the big chiddush din, you should go to the city where they have the shofar. So the Gemara says, for that you need a braisa, you need a tana to tell you that. That's elementary. Shofar is a din of chumash, that's a mitzvah and a Torah. And Malchus and Shofar is only midirabbanan. The whole davening is only midirabbanan. So of course you go to fulfill the din deraisa. What's the habmin? You should go to fulfill the din deraisa. So the Gemara says, no, the Chiddush is, in one city they have a Machzer and they don't have a Shofar. So Yivad they're going to have the Malchus and Shofar. In the other city they have no Machzer and they may or may not have a Shofar. So you may be left with nothing. So the Braisa tells you, go for the Sofik Shofar. A Sofik Deraisa is more important than a Vaday Derabon. Go to the city where they have no Machzer. Bavadai not going to have a davening malchus and a shofar, but they may or may not have a shofar, because a suffix to fulfill shofar deraisa is odif, is more important than a vadai derabban. So the Ramban says, how can Rashi imply that malchus and a shofar is deraisa? So b'feirush gemara, to the extent that if you have a suffix shofar and a vadai malchus and a shofar, so you go to the suffix shofar. See, b'feirush that malchus and a shofar is only derabban. That's the Ramban's kasha on Rashi. The Ramban thinks that the whole Malchus Chana Shofar is only the Rabbanon, and davening in general is only the Rabbanon. The Ramban says davening is only a mitzvah min haTorah if it's tefillah be'eis tzara. That was talk in eis tzara. If the United States government is going to supply Iran with billions of dollars, this vada in eis tzara for the Jews and for the non-Jews and for the whole world. It's an eis tzara. So there's a chiyuv to daven min haTorah when you have an eis tzara. Many Rishonim say that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is always an Eis Tzara by definition, because it's Yom Adin. Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Adin. Yom Kippur is the day for Rosh Hashanah. Yikaser Yom Tzim Kippur Yechaser. So Yimei Hadin are also considered an Eis Tzara. But even if you don't agree with that, but this Rosh Hashanah for sure that today is mamish an Eis Tzara. You have to be mispalot be Eis Tzara achiyot deraisa. So how can Rashi imply as if Malchus Chana Shofar is deraisa? Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying over, there's a Sefer HaMaseches Rosh Hashanah that's called Yom Trua. It's famous. It's one thin Sefer has on Rosh Hashanah, Yuma, and Sukkah. So on Sukkah, the Sefer is called Kapas Tamar. So everybody quotes the Kapas Tamar from the 1500s, 1600s. One of the Svardish Gedolim from years ago. So on Rosh Hashanah, it's called Sefer Yom Trua. So he comes to defend the Rashi. He says, Rashi only says that Malchus Chana Shofar is the Raisa if you have a Shofar. If you're blowing shofar after Malchus Chana Shofar, then the Malchus Chana Shofar is deraisa. But if you have shtei ayaris, two cities, and one city they have a machzor, and one city they have a shofar, so the city where they have the machzor, they don't have a shofar. So Rashi is also masking. That's a beferish gemara what the Ramban quoted. That reciting Malchus Chana Shofar is without a shofar is only the Rabbanon. Let's say Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, and you're not going to blow shofar. Or you live in a city where they have no shofar. So then Rashi will agree that Malchus Chana Shofar is only the Rabbanon. What's the logic behind it? Rav Soloveitchik explained, the Mishnah says when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, Bamigdash hayotoken avloy bamdina. In the Beis HaMikdash they would blow Shofar even when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, and outside of the Beis HaMikdash they wouldn't blow Shofar. Why not? So the Gemara starts off with a drasha from the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara quotes, and this is the Yerushalmi has this, and the Masechah Sofrim has this. Masechah Sofrim was not from the Tanoim. All the Masechtas, all the Mishnais are from the Tanoim. Masechah Sofrim was composed in the days of the Gaonim by the Gaonim Eretz Yisrael. So there has a lot of times Minhogim from Minig Eretz Yisrael, which in Babel they didn't have that many. So the Masechah Sofrim writes the same as the Yerushalmi, same as the Havamin and the Bavli. The Bavli quotes it from Ablevi Balachma, that's one of the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. Then you have two psukim that seem to contradict each other. One pasuk describes Rosh Hashanah as Yom Trua, a day on which we blow shofar, and the other pasuk describes Rosh Hashanah as a Zichron Trua, a day on which we talk about Tkiyah Shofar. So which is it? Do you actually blow the shofar, or do you just talk about Tkiyah Shofar? So the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael said, it depends. When Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, you don't blow shofar, you just talk about shofar, Zichron Trua. We say shofars, we talk about Kiyah Shofar, we learn Kriyas HaTorah, we talk about the Dinah, but we don't actually blow shofar. But Rosh Hashanah falls out on the other 6 days of the week, then you actually blow shofar. So then the Bavli rejects that. The Bavli says, that's not correct. So why do you blow shofar in the Beis HaMikdash when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos? So Ablevi Balachma has an explanation for that. He thinks that this is a Din Min HaTorah, that when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, you only blow in the Beis HaMikdash, you don't blow outside the Beis HaMikdash. He thinks that's a din derais. And the Bavli rejects it. The Bavli holds that they're not blowing shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, is only a gzera de rabba. Rabba is not the one who made the gzera. Rabba is the one who explained the gzera. It's a gzera shema yavirenu. We're afraid. Hakol chayovim mitkir shofar. Everyone is obligated to blow shofar. Ve'en hakol dikiyim mitkir shofar. Most people don't know, many people don't know how to blow shofar. Probably most people don't know how to blow shofar. So we're afraid someone's going to forget and carry the shofar to shul. He does know how to blow. If he would know, he would blow shofar by himself, you know? If he does know how to blow shofar, he may carry the shofar to an expert, to a bucky, to blow for him. So we're afraid someone's going to be Michal Shabbos, and they did away with the whole Tkiyah shofar. So once the Gemara backs out from this Havamina, the Gemara says that the fact that we don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, Shecholias, Bishabbos is only a din with the Rabbanon, it's not a din in the Torah. So Bleib Tzirik Shver, why does the Pasuk, what's with the contradiction between the two Pesukim? The one Pasuk describes Rosh Hashanah as Yom Truah, day on which we actually blow shofar. The other Pasuk sounds like a Zichron Truah, day on which you talk about, you mentioned Tkiyah shofar, you don't actually blow shofar. So why is it called Zichron Truah? What does it mean, Zichron Truah? Some of the Achrayim write that the Gzeira that the Gemara is talking about, that you're not allowed to blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, was introduced already by Moshe Rabbeinu as the Gzeira mid the Rabbanon. Moshe Rabbeinu is also a rabbi, he has a right to make dinim the Rabbanon. He made the Gzeira the Rabbanon Shem Yavirbenu. He was the one who made the Gzeira the Rabbanon, you're not allowed to shake a lulav when Sukkot falls on Shabbos. And the Chumash is referring to Rosh Hashanah Shcholiyos B'Shabbos after the Gzeira of Moshe Rabbeinu. Others say that that's a joke. The Baal HaTanya writes that that's a joke. In his drushes, he writes, the Sadovi Yaduam Afursam, that the Gzeris, the Rabbanu, were made at the end of the Vaisheni period. They weren't made in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Some of the earlier Achronim, from the 1600s, they write the Gzeris, the Rabba, was made by Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's why the Chumash refers to Rosh Hashanah Shchol. That Rosh Hashanah in the Midbar is Rosh Hashanah Shchol is B'Shabbos, and that was referred to by the Rabbanu Shalom as a Zichron Truah because of the Gzeris that Moshe Rabbeinu had done. So if you should assume that the Gzeirah didn't exist in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, so why does the Pasuk describe Rosh Hashanah as a Zichron Truah? So the Reishik thought that according to Rashi, what it means is, Zichron means lahaskir, to say something. You have to daven in connection with the Tkiyah Shofar. The whole idea of Tkiyah Shofar, Tosis points out on the Gemara. The Gemara says in Beferish, Tkiyah Shofar on Yom Kippur Shal Yoivam, Tkiyah Shofar on Rosh Hashanah every year, are two different types of Tkiyahs. Tkiyas, here in America on New Year's Eve, they're all blasting away, they're making noise. Well, what are they celebrating? New Year's, okay. Another year. Matalep Nochayah. Okay. Matalep Debrayah. Nochayah. What are we blowing shofar on Yom Kippur Shal Yovel about? So Tosfos quotes from the Gemara, a simin l'shiluach avadim, to be meshachad avadim. The Gemara says if the Bezin didn't blow shofar on Yom Kippur Shal Yovel, the avadim don't go free. It's ma'akim in the shiluach avadim. If the private individuals didn't blow shofar, so they didn't do their mitzvah. But if the Bezin and Yerushalayim didn't blow shofar and Yom Kippur Shal Yovel, we paskin like Raman paskin like that. The Avadim, the Evrivi goes for either. Evrivi is the Elamam Tavoidim. But the Evrivi goes for either Bishesh after 6 years of Rabba or Yom Kippur Shal Yovel. So the blowing shofar and Yom Kippur Shal Yovel is a simen l'shiluach Avadim, for the freedom of the Avadim. They gain their freedom. The Tkiyah Shofar and Rosh Hashanah, Tosfos says, you see from all the Gemara's like that, is a form of tefillah. It's a tefillah without any words. Like we have one of the tefillahs that the Gemara has, we have it in the Piyutim, Tzorche Amcha Merubim, the Daitam Ktsara Mila Habia. The needs of the Jewish people are so many, and we don't even know how to express ourselves, to list off all of our needs. We don't even know what to say. Some things we do know, and other things we don't even know what the tzoras are. So we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he knows what the tzoras are, and he should take care of all of our needs. So blowing shofar is the tefillah, is a tchina without any words. So that's what Rashi says. Rashi seems to hold, if you have a shofar and you're blowing the shofar, to recite Malchus when the shofar is in conjunction with the shofar is a kim of tefillah also. The concluding paragraph of Malchus, the concluding paragraph of Zechariah and the concluding paragraph of Shofar has the bakasha, the layout, the framework of the three brachas is Malchus Hashem Shofar Sadi Ikori Hamuna, that we believe in. The Rambam lists off, he thinks that there are 13 Ikori Hamuna. Rabbi Yosef Albo disagrees with some of the Ikori Hamuna. The Rambam thinks that maybe not such an Iker. And he says it really boils down to three. And he says those are the three Ikar Emunah. Malchus Lenin Shofar, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's one God and he's the ruler of the whole world. And we have to listen to what he says. And Zechariah and Yismet is Schar V'Yonish. And Shofar means that we believe in Torah Min HaShemayim, because there was a Tkiyah Shofar Maimin HaSinai. and there will be a Gula Hasida, the Kol Shofar Shel Mashiach. So the framework of all of the three brachas is the same. The opening paragraph of Malchus, the opening paragraph of Achrenus, the opening paragraph of Shofar is, we state the principle of faith that we believe in. We believe in Malchus, we believe in Achrenus, we believe in Shofar. Then the middle section of each one of the three brachas is, we demonstrate, how do we know that this is true? So in the Gemara, when they want to demonstrate something is true, let's say the Gemara, we say in V'yit Mecha, how do you know that it's true? We say on Shabbos, and we say, if you want to prove that something is true, and Iker and Amunah, so you say, so you quote a pasuk from Torah and Nevi'im and Ksuvim. That's how you prove that something is true. Maybe we're taking a pasuk out of context, maybe we're mistranslating, maybe we're misunderstanding. So we say three psukim from Chumash, three psukim from Nevi'im, three psukim from Ksuvim. So it can't be that we're misunderstanding. So we have the middle section of Malchus, the middle section of Zechonis and Hashem is same. We demonstrate based on the three psukim of Malchus, we quote nine psukim, three from Chumash, three from Nevi'im, three from Ksuvim, to prove that the Iker and Emunah is true, that this is what we believe in our religion. Then concluding paragraph is a bakasha. We say, okay, I'm going to say no. Melochel kol ha'olam kula v'chvedecha. That's the bakasha. It's not so much a bakasha our needs, it's a bakasha for the Ribbono shel Olam's needs. You should make gilui malchus, so all the nations of the world should accept malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Zechren says, okay, I'm going to say no. Zechren is a karen tov l'fanecha. And Shofar is going to say no. T'kab b'shofar god l'chei v'seinu. So the ikar of the three brochas, Matzah and Shofar, is really the concluding paragraph where you have the Bakasha Storachim, where we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take care of this great Tzorach. The ikar of Soloveitchik explained, the ikar of all of Tefillah really is the Bakasha Storachim. The Gemara says, we learn that from Pesukim and Chumash, that Derech Eretz dictates when you daven, you should first start off with Shevach and conclude with Hodoya. But the essence of the davening is not so much the Shevach and not so much the Hoidoya. Baruch Shalom does need the Shevach, he does need the Hoidoya. The essence of the tefillah is the middle part. We have relatives who are not feeling well, so you have to ask, they should have Refuah Shleima. You have people who are not making a parnasa. You have people who don't have any children. You have all kinds of tzorachim. So we ask, we have a tzorach, we want Mashiach, we need Mashiach. So all the brachas and tzoyas of the Shemoneh Esrei, that's the essence of the tefillah. And Moshe Feinstein has in his Truvis, when you daven on Shabbos and Yom Tov, so the Gemara says, the Chachamim, we're mekel, that we're leaning, we can leave out all the brachas and tzoyas. They just say, Mikadosh HaShabbos, if you leave out all the brachas and tzoyas, according to the Rambam, there's an obligation to daven once a day, every day, and the tefillah has to have these three parts, Shevach and Hoidoy at the end, and Bakosh in the middle. So on Shabbos and Yom Tov, the Gemara says, they were mekel, they were lenient, can leave out all the bakashas. How are you yotzei the chiyuv of tefillah? The essence of the tefillah is the bakasha in the middle. So Moshe Feinstein writes in his sefer, no, the concluding paragraph, both on Shabbos and on Yom Tov, is okay. There's always bakasha tzarachim. The ruchni is dikat tzarachim. There's not gashmi is dikat. We're not asking for refuahs. We're not asking for panasim. We're not asking for shiduchim. We're not asking for children. We're asking for Katshen and Tzasecha, etc. So the same is true on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. When you daven Malchus Chana Shofar, the essence of each one of the three brachas is that concluding paragraph where there is Bakosh and Tzorachim. The concluding paragraph by Malchus again saying, V'lechol kol ha'olam kulu b'chvedecha, v'nosel kol ha'aretz b'karecha. That's the Bakosh and Tzorachim. And the Zechrein is the same. Zechrein is the current of the Vanech and so on, and the Shofar is the same. So Rashi, that's what Rav Soloveitchik taught. Rashi understood, once the Gemara comes to the conclusion that the fact that you don't blow Shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shecholias B'Shabbos is only a Gzeira D'Rabbanon, it's not a Din D'Araisa. So how do you read the Pasuk Zichron Trua? If it would have been, the Yerushalmi seems to assume, stick with the original pshat, that the fact you don't blow Shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shecholias B'Shabbos outside of the Beis HaMikdash is a Din D'Araisa. The whole thing is a Din D'Araisa. Alright, so then you understand what it means. Zichron Trua, Rosh Hashanah is sometimes a day on which you're talking about tekiyas, but you don't actually blow Shofar. But once the Bavli comes to the conclusion that that din, not blowing Shofar, and Rosh Hashanah Shecholias B'Shabbos is only a din de Rabbanon, so why is it called Zichron Trua? So that's what Rav Soloveitchik thought. Maybe what it means is to speak tefillas in conjunction with the tkiya shofar. Maybe that's where Rashi got this idea that the malchus on the shofars is a din deraisa when it comes in conjunction with the tkiyas. When you're blowing shofar, when you're davening malchus on the shofar, and you don't have a shofar, that's the Ramban's Gemara Beferish, that malchus on the shofar is only the Rabban. But when you blow shofar in conjunction with the malchus on the shofars, then the tefillas, the bakashas, are a din deraisa. Because the whole idea of tkiya shofar is on Rosh Hashanah is a form of tefillah. That's what Tosa says. Tkiya shofar on Yom Kippur shel Yovel is a siman l'shiluach avodim. Mas she'ein ken tkiya shofar on Rosh Hashanah is not. It's a form of tefillah. The Mishnah has a machlokes hatanoim. The two Mishnahs here in the third parak in Rosh Hashanah. There's a Mishnah in Chavava min Aleph where the Mishnah says, Kol ha-shofar is kshem, all horns from any animal are kosher, except for a pora. The Gemara gives different reasons. What's wrong with a shofar shel pora? Various reasons. So, sounds like all the horns are good. Question about the pora, machlokes hatanoim, whether pora is good. Then you get to Amud Beis, there's another Mishnah, where the Mishnah has a machlokes hatanoim. One tana holds, has to be dafka shofar shel ayil, only from a rim, has to be twisted. And if it's a flat, a straight shofar, not twisted, doesn't turn, it's not acceptable. So Tosis has two days, a long Tosis here, Machlegs, the Ramam and the Ravid, big Machlegs and Rishonim. So half of the opinion, Tosis goes back and forth, back and forth. The half of the Bali of Tosis are of the opinion that this is a Machlegs Hatanai. The different opinion, one Tana holds all shofars are good except for Pora, one says even Pora is good, the next Tana says the only shofar that's good is the twisted ram's horn. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu should remember Akedas Yitzchak, that they brought an aisle instead. Should remember Akedas Yitzchak. So the Mori and the other Rishonim say no, the old story with the twisted, with the ram's horn, that's just Lachatchila. The Mishnah Amud Aleph, whether Shofar Shel Pora is acceptable, that's Machlekes Leikuva. Whether all Shofars are good, Lachol HaDeis, Shofar Shel Pora is Machlekes HaTanaim, is it good? Then an Amud Beis is a Shaila from Lachatchila. Maybe Lachatchila, Kedei, Sheyaske Alona Akedas Yitzchak, maybe Lachatchili should require that it should be a shofar shalad, but what it says on Amud Beis, that's not Me'akeh B'Riyad. So this is a big machlekes in the Rishonim. But the Mishnah on Amud Beis, that the Gemara quotes the machlekes, the Mishnah, the Gemara quotes the machlekes HaTanam, does it have to be shal ayol kofuf? Does it have to be twisted? Is that the kuva? Or just as a machlekes Lachatchila? So the Gemara, in explaining why it should be, how can it be the kuva? The Baruch Shalom should remember for us the schools of Akedas Yitzchak. That's Me'akeh B'Riyevet. That sounds like an agadic reason. How can that be Me'akeh B'Riyevet? So the Gemara doesn't say that's the reason why it's Me'akeh. The Gemara says the reason why it should be Me'akeh, because the Shofar Rosh Hashanah represents Tefillah. When a person davens, he has to be Kofuf. It can't be Shtolz. I demand the Rabban Shalom. You have to stand with a bowed head and pray to Rabban Shalom, Tachanunim. You have to beg with the Rabban Shalom. We don't deserve anything. We don't deserve anything that we get. So the Gemara says the famous like that, that the Shofar Shel Rosh Hashanah is in the shape of the person who's davening. Just like the person Kamed Kai Finish Daite Tvei Mali on Rosh Hashanah, it's a form of davening. So he has to be kofuf when he davens. So Rebbe used to be fond of pointing out the Gemara in Amud Aleph also. The Gemara says, what's wrong with the Shofar Shel Pora? What's wrong with Pora? So the Gemara has three different explanations why it's no good. So one of the reasons is there's a din of enkatega nasa sanega. What does it mean, enkatega nasa sanega? So there are two kinds. One is, let's say I have a lulav agozel. I stole somebody's lulav. So I did an avera. This lulav is gigavet lulav. This is the cheftza shel avera. So the Gemara says, lulav agozel is posel. And the Yerushalmi says, the Gemara says, mitzvah baba avera. The Yerushalmi says, because enkatega nasa sanega. How can you use that thing that's labeled as a dovish shel avera to fulfill a mitzvah? So that's one kind of enkatega nasaneg, where this object itself was used by me for an aver. Then the Gemara has another kind of enkatega nasaneg, that Bnei Yisrael worshipped the cheta egel. This, the egel is the vlad of the parah. So the Gemara says you shouldn't use a shofar shel parah, because the egel hazav wasn't a real egel. It was a golden calf. It wasn't a real egel. But the Gemara says the eagle is the same family as the parah. The eagle grows up to be a parah if it's a female. So because it belongs to the same family, it's also an issue of enkatega nasa sanega. You shouldn't use a shofar shel parah, because the parah is the mother of the eagle, and that'll be reminiscent of the Aveira. The Gemara says similar to the fact that the Kangodal had two uniforms, two sets of begadim. All year long, the Kangodal wears Shemayna begadim, and the Shemayna begadim have a lot of gold. And on Yom Kippur, the Seder Aveira is divided into five units. First unit of Aveira, he brings the Tamar Shel Shachar, he does other things that he does wearing the big day zav from all year long. Then he changes clothes, goes to mikveh, changes clothes, wears big day lovan. Then the third unit big day zav, the fourth unit big day lovan, and the fifth unit is big day zav. So why doesn't he wear the big day zav when he goes in lefnai velefnim? What's wrong? Why does he have to keep on switching? Why can't he walk into the Gemara? Says not because the egel azav was gold. The gold that's on the big day kain gadol is not the gold from the egel azav, and there's no tarubis. The gold for Negel Azov, it says in the Chumash, Moshe Rabbeinu cut it up into tiny particles and then he threw it into the river and it disappeared. So there's no chashash that the big day Zov of the Kangodal has the gold for Negel Azov. But the gold belongs to the same, the big day Zov of the Kangodal, the gold belongs to the same family of gold of the Negel Azov. So the Shofar Shel Paro belongs to the same family, not even. The Egel Azov, but it was an Egel, so it belongs to the same family as the Parah. And the Zov of the Big Day Kohen Gadol belonged to the same family. So that's a more dakazdika form of Enka Teganasas and Egel. So the Gemara says there are two forms. If you're dealing with Naiva Lefnim, the Kohen Gadol going into the Kodesh HaKadosh and Manyam Kippur, then it's so sensitive you're not even allowed to use a thing that belongs to the same family. You can't go in with Big Day Zov. Because Zov is reminiscent of the Zov and Egel Azov. But if you're talking not in the Lefnai Lefnim, not inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, all year long, so the Kohen Gadol does wear big days. On Yom Kippur also, when he doesn't go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he does wear big days Zov. So the Gemara says, if you tell me there are two forms of Enka Teganas and Eger, and this Dak is the form, if the Chepze that you're using belongs to the same family, all gold in the world is Enka Teganas and Eger. And all Egel and Parah belongs to the same family as the Egel Azov. So why can't you use a Shofar Shel Parah in America? You shouldn't use it if you're blowing Shofar in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But we're not going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You say that this Dakistika form of Enka Teganas and Egel only applies Lefnai Velefnim. So Tekiyah Shofar is not Lefnai Velefnim. So the Gemara answers, not Kevin de Lizikon Koasi Kelefnim Domi. Since the purpose of the Shofar is Lahalas Zichraneim Shal Yisrael Afnei Avim Shebashamayim, it's a form of Tefillah. So when a person davens, it's considered as if he's mamish in the presence of the Rabbanu Shalom in heaven. That's considered as if it's Lefnai V'Lefnei. Wherever you are, even if you're in New Zealand, the furthest away from Eretz, wherever you happen to be, wherever you belong, Shofar is considered as if you're mamish in heaven and in the presence of the Rabbanu Shalom. Whenever you're mamish Lefnai V'Lefnei in front of the Rabbanu Shalom, like either the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur when he goes into the second and the fourth unit of Avoda, he actually goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or when you blow Shofar wherever, on Rosh Hashanah, wherever you happen to be, since it's a form of Tefillah, Kivin to the Zikaron Ka'asi, Kelefnim Domi is considered as if you are Lefnei Hashem. So there are many Gemaras like that, that the Tekiyah Shofar on Rosh Hashanah is supposed to be a form, supposed to be a form of Tefillah. So the Tanaim had this machlokes. It says you have to blow tikiyah, trua tikiyah, three times. The Gemara adds up the psukim. You have to blow tikiyah, trua tikiyah, three times. So the Tanaim had a machlokes. What is trua? So the Adam machlokes is it what we call trua? Two. Three times or nine times? That's another machlokes. Rashi and Tosfos. How many times do you blow truas? So Rashi sheet is three. Two. That's it. And Tosfos says no. You have to blow nine times. Shaila, how we pass in La Alocha? Some pass like Rashi, that you blow three times. So some Tanaim held that true means what we call true. Two. Others said that means Shvarim. And other Tanaim said that it means Shvarim true. So Rabbi Bo was an Amor who lived in Eretz Yisrael, lived in the city Kisrin, I guess Kisaria. And he made a takana, we should blow all the logical possibilities. Since it's a suffix, we should blow all the logical possibilities. So here, the Rav Haigoin is bothered with a starke kasha. How can there be a machlekes hatanon? What's the correct form of Kiyah Shofar, whether it's Shvarim or Trua, or Shvarim Trua? Nobody remembers what they did last year. Everybody was born yesterday. All Balei Tshuva.
Nobody remembers how they blow shofar last year. So Rav Haigoin has a famous explanation. He thinks that all three forms are acceptable. There never was a machlokes hatanaim. Chua is good, and shvarim chua is good, and shvarim is good. So what did Rabbi Abba have to make a takana if everything is good? No, he says the balabatim, who daven in one community, thought that the other community wasn't yotze. We're the only ones that yotze, because we have a tradition, the right way to do it, shvarim. And they're blowing chua. Or this shul blows shvarim chua. And they make fun of everybody else, that they're not yotze limits. So because the balabatim were looking down on the other balabatim, thinking that we're the only ones here, they're not yotze. So Rabbi Abba made a takana, everybody should blow all three versions. But basically, everything is good. All three forms are good. The Rishonim don't seem to agree with the Rav Haigoin. It's an interesting suggestion. They don't seem to agree because the simple reading of the Gemara is that it was a machloikas hatanaim, which is the correct form of tkiyas. So that's the chapela. How can you have a machloikas? Nobody remembered what they did last year. So the Ramban has an interesting comment. The Ramban and the Mochamas. Ramban often does like this. He looks through all the Rishonim and then he takes the best point from each pshat and he comes out with a pshat fancier than everybody else. So he says like this. On a Tainas Tzibur, the Mishnah says in Maseches Tainas that the Shliach Tzibur would repeat the Chazaras HaShatz, Yishmane Esrei, and then instead of saying usually Yishmane Esrei is 18 brachas, they would add on another 6 brachas to add up to the sum total of 24 brachas. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachas that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah who composed all of the tefillahs had amongst their group, there were 120 rabbanim, a Bohem Kama Nevim, and amongst them were several Nevim. What's the significance of saying Bohem Kama Nevim? So Rabbi Chaim Olajner writes that the tefillahs must have been composed with the assistance of the Nevim, to compose a tefillah over 2,000 years ago. That still makes sense today. Must have been done by Nevim. So the Gemara says in Brochas, you have to have a mocker in Novi or in Ksuvim. For how many units you can have a Shmoneh Esrei? How do you know you have a right to daven a Shmoneh Esrei with 18 brachas? How do you know you have a right to make a Shmoneh Esrei with 19 brachas? We have 19. And on a Tainis Tzibur you have 24. And on Rosh Hashanah you have 9. How do they know? On the Shabbos you have 7. The Gemara shows a mocker from Tanakh. There's a tefillah with 7 units, with 9 units, with 24 units, and so on. So the Mishnah says in Tainis that on Tainis Tzibur when the Chazan will repeat the Chazaras HaShatz, at the conclusion of the six additional brachas that he would add to the Shmoneh Esrei, they would blow shofar. Machlokes HaTanaim, Rabbi Yonah Chaim, what would they blow? They would blow like we blow after Malchias, Tkiyah Teruah Tkiyah. So they would blow after each bracha Tkiyah Teruah Tkiyah. Oh no, they would blow after the first bracha Tkiyah, after the second additional bracha Teruah, after the third additional bracha they would blow Tkiyah. Then after the fourth additional bracha, all the 6 additional brachas were all in a row. In the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, the Yochid didn't daven 24 brachas. Yochid only davened 18 brachas. The Chazan added on 6. So, one Tana is of the opinion that blow Truah Tkiyah after each one of the 6 additional brachas. The other Tana says they blew after the first one Tkiyah, after the second one Truah, and after the third one Tkiyah. We should have explained what the issue is over there. So the Ramban writes like this: on the Tana Sibur, when you're blowing after the additional 6 brachas, all the Tanoim would agree that any form of Truah is acceptable. And when you blow Shofar after Malchias and after Zechronos and after Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah, it's the same as blowing on a Tanis Sibur. The role of the Tkiyas at the conclusion of the brachas, the 6 brachas on a Tanis Sibur, the 3 brachas on Rosh Hashanah and Musaf, is to enhance the Tefillah, to elevate the Tefillah to a higher level. How is it elevated to a higher level? So the Gemara says that the Chumash says Yom Truah from the Targumin, and the Targum Munkala says Yom Yabova, that the Truah has to sound like a person crying. What's the significance of crying? So Rav Soloveitchik used to quote the Gemara in the end of Perek HaZohav, Bav Mitzi in Perek HaZohav, that the Gemara said Miyom Shachar Beis Hamikdash Ninalu Shari Tefillah. The prayers are not accepted the way they used to be years ago, because that Beis Hamikdash is not only the Makam HaKrovus HaKarbonet, it's Kibesi Beis Tefillah Yikari L'Chalan. Beis HaMikdash is the center for Tefillah. When Shlomo HaMelech completed the building of the first Beis HaMikdash, he said everybody should daven facing the Beis HaMikdash, Nochach HaMikdash. You look in the Rambam, the beginning of Hilchas Tefillah, so the Rambam writes that to daven once a day, every day, is a din min HaTorah. When the Gemara says to davening is only with the Rabbanon, that means the fact that you daven 3 times a day, 4 times a day, or 5 times a day on Yom Kippur, you have Nila 5 times a day, So the extra is only midrabbanan. But the daven once a day, every day, is deraisa. And then the Rambam writes, part of the dinim deraisa to daven nochach hamigdash, to face the Beis Hamigdash. And then he adds on all the dinim derabbanan. But the Rambam puts it in, to face the Beis Hamigdash is one of the dinim deraisa, because the Beis Hamigdash is the center, is Beis Tfilah. That's the center of all the tfilas. So the Gemara says, the pasuk says in Eicha, Gam Kiezer Kasheveh Sasam Tfilasi. After the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, the office is not open anymore. So the Tfilas are not accepted as they used to be. Bizman Shav Beis Hamikdash Ayikan. And then the Gemara says, but even though Shari Tfilah were Ninalo, Shari Demoyes were Loi Ninalo. If a person davens with such sincerity, and he's davening about a serious issue, and he cries, not stam, he turns on the faucet and he starts to cry. Some people can turn on the faucet and start crying without being so serious and so sincere. But if he's sincerely concerned about what's happening to the point that he's crying in the middle of the tefillah, then the Gemara quotes the pasuk, Shari Demois Lainin Olam. So the idea behind Tkiya Shofar, that the Truah should sound like crying, Yom Truah Metargamin and Yom Yavavah should sound like crying, to elevate the level of the Tkiyas. Tkiyas is a form of tefillah, should be tefillah Shiyesh Emoah, Demois. So that's why on a Taina Sibur, when do you make a Taina Sibur? When Natsiras Gishamin, when there's an epidemic, when there's a war, when there's a plague, when there's some terrible crisis, when there's some major catastrophe is taking place. So that's an Eis Tzara. So you want to have not Stam Tfilah, you want to have a Tfilah Eis Tzara. So that's why the Chazan adds on an additional six brachas in Nishman Esrei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that should answer our prayers. At the conclusion of all of those additional brachas, we elevate the level of the Tfilah. So the Ramban writes on Rosh Hashanah, the Tkiya Sifta Machas Hanashavis is the same on a Taina Sibur. And a Taina Sibur, there never was a Machlaikas, whether it has to be true or it has to be Shvarim, it has to be Shvarim true. All the three forms are acceptable. But Rav Haigoin said that all the three forms are acceptable is correct, Benegir to the Tkiya Sal Seder HaBrachas. He comes to answer that it was the Rif quotes the Chubas HaGadim that there was a Minig Bishnei Yeshivas in Surim Pumbedisa. In the days of the Gaonim, they carried over all the traditions from the days of the Amoraim who lived in Babel. So the tradition was that after Malchias you would blow Tashrat only once, after Zechrenes you would blow Tashat once, and after Shofes you would blow Tkiya Truah Tkiah once. In Broyers they still do like that. The rest of the world changed, and Broyers doesn't change. Everything stays the same. So they still do like the Minig Bishtei Shivs. So the Goyim themselves say, absolutely doesn't make any sense. The reason why we blow all the three possibilities, Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat, because we're not sure which is the correct form of Truah. So if the din requires, he's supposed to blow Shofar after Malchus, after Zechrenes, after Shofar. So he should blow all the three logical possibilities. How come he just blows Tashrat after Malchus? He only blows Tashat after Zechrenes. He only blows Tarat after Shofar. Hastira min Eibay. If this is correct, the other two are not correct. If this is correct, the other two are not correct. So Mimono Shachin at Yotze. Oh, so Rav Haigoin says that's the answer. So the Ramban says the Tkiyas al Seder HaBrachas, everybody agrees. That's the same as a Taina Sibur. It says on a Taina Sibur to elevate the level of the Tfilah, that it should be considered Tfilah Shiyesh Emoah Demoes, all three are acceptable forms of Demoes. Tashrat and Tashat and Tarat, all three are forms of crying. Different forms, crying, sobbing, and so on. The Machlekes, there was a Machlekes Hatanoim. And the Machlekes, not that they forgot what did we do last year. No, last year they blew in the middle of the Shedman Esra, they blew all the three different, because all three are acceptable for the Tkiyas Al Seir HaBrachas. But in Rosh Hashanah, in addition to the Ramban holds that the Tkiyas Al Seir HaBrachas is only the Rabbanah, because he holds that the Brachas are only with the Rabbanah. Ramban Chomish says, Machlekes Chan Hashem is only with the Rabbanah. So the whole Tkiyas Al Seir HaBrachas is only with the Rabbanah. But on Rosh Hashanah, there is a Chiyav Tkiyah Men HaTorah. That Tkiyah, that's the Machlekes Hatanoi. When you blow Tkiyah, true Tkiyah, for Ilchas Rosh Hashanah, not for the purpose of enhancing the Bracha, for the purpose of Tkiyah Shofar and Rosh Hashanah. So that was a Machlekes Hatanoi. What form of true are you supposed to have for that? But by us, once we've blown all the logical possibilities after Mafta, before you start Musaf, then we were Yotze in the midst of Tkiyah and Rosh Hashanah. So the Tkiyas in the middle of Chazaras HaShat, that's like an Atanis Tikva. The Tkiyas Al Seder HaBrachas, and then he says, all the forms are acceptable. All the forms are acceptable. Rav Soloveitchik used to give, he was very fond of his interpretation. We say this over every year. the Tanoim have a machlokes on Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. We say nine brachas on Rosh Hashanah and Musaf. We say the Gimel Rishonis, first three brachas of the Shemana Setil HaMelech HaKadosh, that's the same as all year long. We add on Chen Tein Pachtecha, that's a piyut. But if someone forgot to say the Chen Tein Pachtecha, one is Yotze B'riyel. That was the first shalat that I got when I was in the Rabbanus. The Baal Tefillah for Mincha and Rosh Hashanah said Kiddusha, and then he said Dovidon Nagid Galacha, then he finished HaMelech HaKadosh. Forgot to say v'chein tein pachtuch. So everybody looked at me. What's the din? So the din is b'diyed. If you left out v'chein tein pachtuch, you're yoytze. Not only by mincha, by shachar, by musa. V'chein tein pachtuch is just a piyut like all the other piyut. That's not miyake b'diyed. So the tanoim had like this. The first three brachas and the last three brachas, they're the same. Then the middle three brachas, you have malchus, rein, and shofers. These are nine brachas. But then this a tenth bracha. There's the bracha of kedusha sayyad. Just like on a regular Shabbos and Yontif, you have the first three, the last three brachas, then you have a bracha in the middle, al kedusha sayyim, mekadesh haShabbos, and mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim, and mekadesh Yisrael v'yom haKippurim, mekadesh Yisrael v'rosh haChodashim. So on Rosh Hashanah you have to have a bracha in the middle, about mekadesh Yisrael v'yom haZikar, the bracha of the kedusha sayyim of Rosh Hashanah. So there really should have been 10 brachas on Rosh Hashanah. How come we only have 9? So that's what Rav Soloveitchik pointed out. It says in the Piyutim like that because the Gemara in Bracha said, Anshei Knesset HaGedolah composed the Nusach HaTfilah, and they consisted of 120 Zikanim, 120 Talmid HaChamim, Ubehem Kama Nevim, and amongst them were several Nevim. And every Nusach HaTfilah has to be based on a source in Tanakh that it's legitimate. That you have a Tfilah with 18 parts, you have a Tfilah with 24 parts, you have a Tfilah with 7 parts, you have a Tfilah with 9 parts. There's no source in Tanakh to have a tefillah with 10 units. So the Tanoim all assumed on Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, you have to take the 10 brachas and kvetch them into 9 brachas. You have to combine two of the brachas together. So they had a three-way machlekes ha-Tanoim, which two brachas do you combine together? So Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri was of the opinion that you put Malchias together with Ato Kadosh v'Shimcho Kadosh. He's speaking about Kedushas Hashem. So you speak about Malchias. He put Malchus over there. Then the next bracha Nishma Nesrei is Mekadosh Yisrael v'Yom HaZikar, the bracha of Kedusha Sayyam. Then you have Zichreinus and Shofers after that. The next opinion, Rabbi Akiva disagrees with Rabbi Yechon. He says, no, you have to combine Malchus with the Kedusha Sayyam. The essence of Rosh Hashanah is the theme of HaMelech HaKadosh, Malchus, the theme of Malchus, because Baruch Hu is judging the whole world. So Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion, we follow Rabbi Akiva, you should combine Malchus with Kedushas Hayom. And the third opinion, the Gemara quotes in the Braisa, this is already not in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, just like all year long on Shabbos and Yontif, and Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, the middle bracha, the bracha Emtzoyis, is the bracha on the Kedushas Hayom. So on Rosh Hashanah also, there are 9 brachas, and the middle bracha of the middle section is Malchus Zechayinu Shevis, Zechayinus is the middle bracha, so we should combine Kedushas Hayayim with the Zechayinus. All year long, the bracha of Kedushas Hayayim is always be'emtza, the middle, so today should also be the middle. So the premise of all the Tanaim is that you have to, we really should have had 10 brachas, but we don't allow that, because we don't have a source in Tanakh for a tefillah that has 10 units. So you have to kvetch 2 brachas together to make it into 9. So this is a machlokes ha-Tanaim. So Rabbi Yechonon ben Nuri was the first opinion. That's what Rabbi Soloveitchik used to say every year, that he had an uncle who was the son-in-law of Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, Rabbi Menachem Krakowski. So he wrote a sefer on the Rambam, Avodas HaMelech. And his sefer, he has this suggestion, why do we add on a Mechein Tein Pachtucho in the middle of the Brocha of Kel HaKadosh? Why do we add a piyut over there? So he said he thinks that a Mechein Tein Pachtucho was the Hakdamah to Malchias according to the Nusach of Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri. And the Yerushalmi says that in Eretz Yisrael, in the Galil, the practice was like Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri. They used to incorporate Malchias into the Brocha HaKel HaKadosh. Not like we do. We combine Malchias with Kedushas Hayayim. And Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri used to put Malchias in Ato Kodesh and Shimcha Kodesh. So he used to start off a Chen Tein Pachtucho, Kodesh Baruch Hu Gilui Shechina, and that. And then he said all the 9 psukim for Malchias in the bracha of kedushas Hashem in the bracha at the Kodesh. So the Mishnah quotes Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri is saying that We follow Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that you combine together Malchus with Kedushas Hayam. So you blow Shofar after Malchus, after Zechronus, and after Shofar. According to Avichai Ben-Uri, that you combine Malchus with Atah Kodesh and Shimcha Kodesh, you end off Amelech HaKodesh, so you blow Shofar after that. So he says, no, you don't blow Shofar. You don't blow Shofar after Malchus. He blows Shofar after the fourth, the fifth, and the sixth brachas. After Kedusha Sayyim, separate bracha Kedusha Sayyim, Karis Zavi Yom HaZikaren, and after Zechonis and after Shofar. That's what Rabbi Yechem Anuri says. You combine Malchus with Kedushas Hashem, the Eino Tokei. You don't blow Shofar. So Rabbi Kiva argues, but Rabbi Yechem Anuri, Eino Tokei, if you're not going to blow Shofar, so why do you waste your time to say the Malchus at all? If you're not going to blow Shofar after Malchus, so why do you bother to say Malchus? So Gemara said, what do you mean, why do you bother? You have to say Bracha Malchus. So what kind of a question if you don't blow Shofar? What if you don't have a Shofar? Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, you don't say Malchus because you don't have a Shofar. What kind of an argument is that? So the Gemara says, no, what Rabbi Kiva meant to say was, why do you say 10 psukim? It should have been enough with 9 psukim. What's the connection between having a 10th pasuk and having the Tkiyah Shofar? So Rav Soloveitchik gets to enjoy saying this over every year. The framework of the Malchus and the Shofar is there are three sections to each one of them. First, we say the Ikir and Amun, and we say we believe in Malchus, we believe in Zechronus, and we believe in Shofar. And then we say, how do we know that it's true? Because Dov is that cost about Torah, Vashan, Babim, Sholosh, Baksuv. And just in case we're misinterpreting, so we say three psukim from Chumash, and three psukim from Nevim, and three psukim from Ksuvim. So this is indisputable. So we quote 9 psukim to prove the point that there's such an Iker and Amunah Malchus, there's an Iker of Zechronus, then there's an Iker of Shofar. Then you have the Bakosh in the concluding paragraph. So what is the 10th pasuk all about? The Mishnah says you have to say 10 psukim from Malchus, 10 psukim for Zechronus, and 10 psukim for Shofar. Why do you need the 10th pasuk? 9 psukim should be enough. Dov is akasa b'Torah, shorim b'avim, shulish b'ksuvim. So we say 3 psukim from Chumash, 3 psukim from Nevim, 3 psukim from Ksuvim, Rishon Genuk. Why do you need the 10th pasuk? So Rav Soloveitchik explained the 10th pasuk is not really for the purpose of proving the point. The 9 psukim are really sufficient. The 10th pasuk is to enhance the bakasha in the concluding paragraph. We say, Elokeinu, 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 Melech al kol ha'olam kula b'chvedecho. We want to have Gila Shechina, the whole world should accept Kabbalah Samach Hashemayim. So we say, and you promised that it's going to happen. So Rosh Hashanah, Shema Yisrael Hashem, Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Rashi translates. That's what the Gemara says. Shem Hu Elokeinu now, God who is only accepted by the Jewish people, the day will come, he will be Hashem Echad. So you promised in the Chumash that such a day is going to come. So please bring that day ready. As it says in your Chumash, so Rosh Hashanah, Shema Yisrael, then you say Zechronus. We say Zechronus, Zikaron, Tavlov, Menachem. As you yourself wrote in the Chumash, you're gonna remember us L'Toivah. And at Kav Shofar Goy L'Chev Yisrael also, we say, you yourself said it, that Tkiyah Shofar. You yourself said it's going to be Gilu Shechina. So the purpose of the 10th Pasuk, and that's the same as the purpose of the 9th Pasuk. The 9th Pasuk is to prove the point of the Iker and Amunah in the first opening paragraph, in each one of the three Brachas on Malchus and Shofar. And the 9th Pasuk is to prove that point. And the 10th Pasuk really belongs to the Bakosha in the concluding paragraph. So that's what Rabbi Akiva argues with Rabbi Yechem Anuri. If you're telling me, Rabbi Yechem Anuri says, you combine Malchus with Atah Kodesh, with the Bracha Bamelech HaKodesh, and you don't blow Shofar, the blowing of the Shofar is to be mechazik the tefillah, to elevate the tefillah to the level of tefillah sheyesh imoed, the most, be mechazik the tefillah. So if you're not, emeinu tokeya, so why should you say the 10th pasuk? The 10th pasuk is for the purpose of being mechazik the tefillah. So we say you don't blow Shofar after Malchus, so why do you bother to say the 10th pasuk? The 9 psukim, of course you say. The 9 psukim are not to be mechazik the bakosha. 9 psukim are to prove the point of the Iker Rav Amunah. But the role of the 10th pasuk is to be mechazik the bakosha. So we say, you yourself wrote in the Chumash that you're going to see to it that this is going to happen. Rosh Hashanah is a day of tefillah. The whole Tkiyah Shofar is tefillah. We have to daven. Some early Mekubalim said that you're not allowed to daven personal tzarachim. The person has a chayda b'saf beiso, or need shiduchim or children, whatever, you shouldn't. But the minig is not so. We don't follow that. Everybody asks tzarachim. We all ask tzadikim. We have long lists of bakoshes that we all personal tzarach. So Rosh Hashanah is a day that's supposed to be miyuchad for daven. It's supposed to daven a lot. Pumtan leil Rosh Hashanah and all the other yamim tovim, the minig, the balei tzeis had a minig that they added on piyutim in the middle of Birchas Kriya Shema by Ma'ariv. And leil Rosh Hashanah, there are no piyutim for the first night of Rosh Hashanah. So the Mefarshim explain why. There used to be a minig years ago. I don't think anybody has it today. Not anybody that I know. They used to fast the whole day long on the Erev Rosh Hashanah. So the people are starving the whole day. So they didn't introduce any piyutim. Shem Ginuk, that they're fasting the whole day. So we're going to let them go home early. Today, nobody fasts the whole day. But we don't know. They never composed any piyutim. They never composed any marav, so we don't say. In Shulchan Aruch it says, "Bamekel, if you fast till after Chatzais." It was a very common minig. There was a minig that people fasted Aseres and Meitshuva, and a couple of days that you can't fast Shabbos Shuva, and 2 days Rosh Hashanah you can't fast. So you used to fast first day of Slichas and whatever other days to make up. And then other people don't have that minig to fast 10 days, so they only have minig to fast only on Yom Kippur. So they had a minig to fast, especially on Erev Rosh Hashanah. But the Ramah says in Shulchan Aruch, the minig is only fast till after Chatzais, till after 1 o'clock, and then you call it quits. Yeah. There is an inyan of Tosefes Shabbos. This is also a sugya in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tesam and Aleph. The Gemara has a machlekes, Rabbi Kiv and Rabbi Shmuel. How do you know that there is such an institution? Where is the pasuk in Chumash? It's supposed to be mosif mechol al hakodesh. So the Gemara quotes 3 different sources. Rabbi Akiva has a pasuk that speaks about Shemitah. Bachorish of Akotzer Tishbois. That Shnas HaShemitah, you shouldn't plow the ground. So no sakra, you shouldn't do harisha, and kotzi, you're not allowed to do kitzira kedarka to keep all of the tefuah for yourself. You have to leave everything hefka. So we have other psukim that speak about shmita. This pasuk is in mishpatim, b'charei shavakotzi tishbos. So what do you need? Noch ha-pasuk, b'charei shavakotzi. We know shnas ha-shmita, harisha, and kitzira is described in Parshas Bahar. So Rabbi Kiva says this is referring to tosefes shvius lefaneho and liachreho. You have to add on. The old Shnas HaShemitah has a Kedusha Zman, has more Kedusha than the other years. So since it's a Zman that's Mekudesh, you should always be Mosef Mechol Al HaKodesh. So you should introduce some of the restrictions of Shemitah a month or two before the Shnas HaShemitah begins. That's Rabbi Kiva's source. And then you learn a Mamatzinu. Since the whole Shnas HaShemitah has Kedusha Zman for the whole year, and the Torah requires of us that we should be Moshe Mechol Al HaKodesh, so the same thing applies. Maybe it's a Kal V'chomer to a Shabbos or to a Yom Tov. A Yom Kippur has a higher level of Kedusha than the Shnas HaShemitah. You have Lamedes Melachos are forbidden, not just the Kav Melachos or Avodas HaKarka. So that's Rabbi Kiva's source. Then the Gemara says Rabbi Shmuel disagrees. Rabbi Shmuel says B'chor Shem HaKotzer Tishbos goes on Shabbos, it doesn't go on Shemitah. So how does he know there's a din of Tosefes Masif and Mechol Al HaKodesh? So he quotes a different source. The pasuk says that you should fast on the 9th day of Tishrei in the evening. The Tisha L'Chodesh Ba'erev. So we usually translate Tisha B'Chodesh, the night after the 9th of Tishrei, the night of the 10th of Tishrei. The Yontav of Yom Kippur begins Vahi Erev Ayverke. The Jewish calendar, all the days begin at sundown. From sundown, there about ever Tish B'su Shabbat Chet. That's the Pashup Shat. So the Gemara gives an additional level of interpretation. This is not Pshut Shal Mikra. The Torah Shabbat gives an additional level of interpretation. But Tish Al HaChodesh B'Erev, late in the afternoon, on the 9th of Tishrei, you should add on V'Nisim Esnav Shesech, you start fasting late in the afternoon on Erev Yom Kippur. That's only on Yom Kippur. And how do you know b'negiyah to Shabbos and Yom Tov? So it's also on Mamatzinu. that since Yom Kippur you have to be Moisim Mechayel Al HaKadosh, the Shabbos and Yom Tov as well. The Rambam is Yodua. The Rambam only quotes the Din of Tosefes on Yom Kippur. He paskens like Rabbi Shmuel. And even though the Brisa continues to say you learn a Mamatzinu from Yom Kippur to Shabbos and Yom Tov, the Rambam seems to hold it's only Yom Kippur. There's only a mitzvah to be Moisim Mechayel Al HaKadosh on Yom Kippur. What does he hold by regular Shabbos and Yom Tov? He never says a word, never says anything about Tosefes. So the Achrenim have a big machlekes. So some say, you're not mechuyev to be Moisif, men atayra ba, men the Rabbanan you're mechuyev to be Moisif. So others say, it doesn't say in the Rambam. Others say, you're not mechuyev to be Moisif, but if you want Moisif, Mechol Al HaKadosh, it's chal men atayra. There is an institution of Tosefes Shabbos. If you're mekabel Tosefes Shabbos, you're not mechuyev to, but if you're mekabel Tosefes Shabbos, it's chal men atayra. Other Achrenim say, it doesn't say. The Rambam never said it. Others say, you're not mechuyev to be Moisif, not men atayra, not men the Rabbanan. But if you are Moisif, it's Chamed Rabbanan. So they say the Rambam never said that either. Rambam doesn't say boo. Doesn't say a word about Tosefes on Shabbos Yom. The simple reading of the Rambam is that he only holds from Tosefes on Yom Kippur. He does never quotes the din of Tosefes on Shabbos Yom. Sounds like you're not Mechuyib Min HaTorah, not Mechuyib Min Rabbanan, and even if you are Moisif, it's not Chal. So that's why when Shulchan Aruch quotes in Hilchos Shabbos, they quote the Bali HaTosfos who learn the Gemara Kepshuto. That there is a mitzvah to be Moisim Mechol Al HaKadosh. You always be Mekabel Shabbos early, a little before the Shkia. So the Mechaber writes, Yesh Omrim, there is an opinion. What do you mean, Yesh Omrim, it's a mitzvah L'Hoisif Mechol Al HaKadosh? Because the Mechaber knows that the Rambam doesn't agree. The Rambam never quotes the whole Din of Tosef, he only quotes Tosef on Yom Kippur. Mechaber quotes, he doesn't quote those who disagree, but he says, Yesh Omrim, the Bali HaTosef says, it's a mitzvah L'Hoisif Mechol Al HaKadosh. The Magid Mishnah has on that Rambam, that the Rambam says there's only a mitzvah l'chos mechol al hakadosh on Yom Kippur. So the Magid Mishnah has a comment. He thinks that on Shabbos and Yom Tov the Rambam never quotes a din to be moisif mechol al hakadosh, only on Yom Kippur. So he thinks you only have to be moisif for the inuyim. You don't have to be moisif for the isim malacha. So you can do malacha whenever, as late as you want, before the shkia. You only have to be moisif mechol al hakadosh when you get to the inuyim. So Rav Soloveitchik said he didn't think that made any sense. Tosefes Yom Kippur means you makabel the kedushas hayom of Yom Kippur, the same kedushas hayom that asas in the inuyim, asas achir eshtia, is machay v'nisa malacha as well. The Mekeves HaMishnah writes like that. Mekeves HaMishnah is a later sefer on the Rambam, but they wrote from Chelma. There was a city Chelma. There was another city Chelma. Mishnah Berurah quotes a lot. The Mekeves HaMishnah has a sefer on Arachayim. Mishnah Berurah quotes on every other page. But yeah, on the Rambam, so usually Mekeves HaMishnah, whenever there's a complicated Rambam, and Yor Sameach has something fantastic, and Rav Chaim has something fantastic, everybody stands on the head to give pshat. Mekeves HaMishnah always give the most bland, simple pshat. So sometimes the bland pshat is the correct pshat. Not always. Okay. So here, Mekeves HaMishnah writes, he doesn't think the Magid Mishnah is right. He has that argument there. Rav Soloveitchik said, what do you mean this Tosefes benegeit the inuyim and not benegeit the malocha? It's the same kedusha sayem that's mechay ben inuyim is mechay ben malocha. You should be mekabel for everything. Then there's a third opinion. It doesn't really say this in the Gemara. There's a Gemara in Sukkah, Amem Dalet, but the Gemara says the Chachamim had a tradition that there were three halachas l'Moshe Mesinai that were transmitted as a package deal. The Gemara says they're all set together, there's a connection. The Gemara says the three are Nisach HaMayim on Sukkos. All year long you do Nisach HaYayin on the Mizbech. You pour wine down the pipes on the Mizbech. You have to bring certain carbonas, not all carbonas. Many carbonas you do Nisach HaYayin conjunction. You can bring Nisach HaYayin as a carbon b'fnei atzma also. Misnadvim Yayin as a carbon b'fnei atzma, but usually Nisach HaYayin is Nechosim and Iskem came to Dubra in conjunction with the carbon. So you have on Sukkos, in addition to the Nisach HaYayin, you have also Nisach HaMayim. They would pour water down the pipes. So that's one. Then you have Arava LaMizbeach on Sukkos. You have to have, in addition to the Arava that you take in the Lulav, Arve Nachal, for the Dalaminim, you have to have Aravas on the Mizbeach. Then the third din is Esanatiyas. What is Esanatiyas, Halacha Moshe Mesinai? The Gemara gives a whole explanation why they were all given on a package deal. What the significance is, that these three were said bevasachas. So the third one is es and etiyah says like this: there is halacha l'maishe misina ab tosefes shviyas. See Rabbi Akiva and there in Rosh Hashanah the Tesem and Aleph, Rabbi Akiva claims that it's based on a pasuk. B'charish habakotze tishbos the pasuk in Mishpatim goes on Shmita. Rabbi Yishmael says not true, it goes on Shabbos. B'charish habakotze tishbos goes on Shabbos, teaches you some details in Hilchos Shabbos. Rabbi Akiva says no, it goes on Shmita. What do you need it for? I know all the laws of Shmita from Parshat Behar. No, this pasuk tells me tosefes shviyas lofanecha le'achra. The Chorish of Erev Shviz. This pasuk is the mocker of Tosefes Shviz. So the Gemara here says Tosefes Shviz is a halachah l'maishe misina. You have to be mostly mechol al hakodesh a month or two before Shnas Hashmita comes in. The Gemara said bizman shabis hamigdush hoyekayim. That's why it was put together. It's one big package halachah l'maishe misina together with Nisach HaMayim and Arav Olam Mizbeach. Just like Nisach HaMayim and Rav Olam Mizbeach is only Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYikayim, so Tosefes Shviyas is the rice is only Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYikayim. So after the Churban HaBayis, the Mishnah says Rabbi Gamliel did away with Tosefes Shviyas. How do you have the right to do away? The answer is because the Halacha L'maishe Misina of Tosefes Shviyas is only Bizman HaBayis, because it was transmitted together the Neshim Achas, the Vas Achas, together with Nisach HaMayim and Rav Olam Mizbeach. So what is the Halacha L'maishe Misina? There is a din of Tosefes Shviyas. You're not allowed to water the grass that's growing, anything that's growing before the Shnas HaShmita, a month or two before, except it's Halacha L'maishe Misina Tosefes Shviyas, with an exception to the rule. If you have Es and Netiyah spread out over a certain amount of area, and Netiyahs are young saplings, young trees, if you're not going to water them, it's going to be a Hefsid. So that's an exception to the rule that you're permitted to water them during this month of Tosefes. So you have a halacha l'maishe misinai. So you don't need a pasuk then. So if you have a halacha l'maishe misinai, and you need a halacha l'maishe misinai because it tells you the rule with the exception to the rule. There is a prohibition, there is a din of Tosefes Shviyas, and there's an exception to the rule for the es and etiyahs. In certain cases, you're allowed to violate the Tosefes Shviyas. So some Rishonim, in Shulchan Aruch, they quote, the Beis Yosef quotes this. There's a Mordechai in the beginning of Maseches Megillah. Mordechai is from the late Balei HaTosfos, Talmidim of the Maharam Rutenberg. So the Mordechai quotes a Rabbi Netuvia of Vienna. He thinks that we paskin like this Mokar. Not the two Mokaris there in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tesam and Aleph, for Tosefes Shviyas. Not the Mokar from Vinisim Asnaf Shasech Mitisha Lochayish Laherev. That was Rabbi Shmuel's Mokar. And not the Mokar from Akiva. There's a din of Tosefes Shviyas. He says we don't need a pasuk for Tosefes Shviyas. It's a halacha l'maishe misina. Es and etiyahs. Es and etiyahs tells you the prohibition, the din of Tosefes Shviyas, and the exception to the rule that if you can have es and etiyahs, it's mutter to do avodas hakarka during this man of Tosefes. So the Mordechai has an interesting insight. He's bothered. This Rav Tuvia Mevienna is bothered with akasha. And you have to think about the kasha. What exactly is the kasha? In effect, the kasha, there's a Gemara in Brachas, Daf Chav Zayin, on the base, where the Gemara says, what we do in the summertime, we makabel Shabbos early, we dab in Meirav after the plaga mincha, and then we go home and we say Kiddush, and the sun is still shining. So the Mordechai is bothered with the kasha. How do you make Kiddush? Because it's Tosefes Shabbos. How do you know Tosefes Shabbos? It's only Halacha L'Moshe Messina. It's not a pasuk. He thinks we should paskin not like Rabbi Akiva, not like Rabbi Shmuel. Neither pasuk in Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes. We should paskin like this Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Mem Dalid, that Tosefes Shabbos is a mamatzino from Tosefes Shmita, Tosefes Shnas HaShmita, and Tosefes Shmita itself is only Halacha L'Moshe Messina. It's bothered with the kasha that the obligation to recite Kiddush on Shabbos is Torah Shebichsav, because it says Zochar Yom Shabbos LeKatshei. Zachreyu lahaskir to mention Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos. That's a chiyuv mitam Torah shebichsav. So if you recite the Kiddush on Shabbos proper, you'll be yotzei the mitzvah of Torah shebichsav by reciting Kiddush. How can you fulfill the mitzvah of Torah shebichsav by reciting Kiddush on Shabbos during this man of Tosefes, which is a lower level of Kedushas Hayom? It's only Kedusha according to Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai is a din d'araisa, but the Rabbeinu Tuvia in Vienna is making an assumption that it's a lower level. Whatever is Mefurish and Chumash is a stronger din deraisa. Whatever is only Torah Shebal Peh, pure Torah Shebal Peh, it's not even derived from reading in between the lines of the Psukim. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva have drushes. They read in between the lines that there's a din of Tosef Shabbos and Tosef Yom Kippur. And according to this Gemara, it's not even a drusha. It's purely halacha l'moshe m'sina. So Rabbi Netuvia in Vienna is working on the assumption that whatever is halacha l'moshe m'sina is a lower level of a deraisa. What does that mean? What do you mean a lower level of a deraisa? Deraisa is a deraisa. The Rabbana is a Rabbana, deraisa is a deraisa. What do you mean a lower level? He says halacha l'moshe m'sina is a lower level. Is a lower level. So he's bothered with Akasha, since to recite Kiddush on Shabbos is a din deraisa in Torah Shebichsav. How can you be Yotze when you recite the Kiddush during this man of Tosefes? If it's only halacha l'moshe m'sina, you should be mechuyev to recite it again after Laila. What does it help that you said Kiddush when the sun is still shining? During this man of Tosefes, you ought to be required to repeat it again later on Balaila, because how can you be Yotze din deraisa during this man that's only halacha l'moshe m'sina? It's like Yesh l'hakshas b'doichik. What exactly is the kasha? So the Pim Godim has in his psicha Torah Chaim all discussion of this kasha. This Rabbi Netuvia Mivien is quoted by the Bais Yosef in Hilchos Kiddush and Reisha and Gimel Hilchos Kiddush, and the Pim Godim has a discussion. So this din of Tosefes is very often people don't fulfill the mitzvah of Tosefes. Rav Soloveitchik said he remembers that when he came from in Europe, the women used to bench lich 30 minutes before sunset every Shabbos and Yom Tov. And Erev Yom Kippur, they would bench licht 60 minutes before. And they would stop eating an hour before the Shkia. He said, as a child, he asked, why do they have twice as much? Why twice as much Tosefes? So Pashup Shat is because of the Rambam. The Rambam holds only Tosefes on Yom Kippur. I remember once my father passed away a few years ago at the age of 94. So he used to fast on Yom Kippur. He was healthy, he used to fast. So I remember when he was 92 or 93. So we davened in yeshiva, they davened forever until they blew shofar, and then they were dancing until they davened mairav, till we came home and we ate. So after we finished eating, then I called my father to ask him, how did the tonnes go? So he said, you ate already. So 3 hours empty, okay, you ate already. What's with Tosefes Yom Kippur? My father was worried about Tosefes Yom Kippur. Yeah. So Rav Soloveitchik, as a child, said he didn't understand. He asked, why do they have Tosefes Yom Kippur 60 minutes before? So he said the official explanation that they gave was 30 minutes for Tosefes Inuyim and 30 minutes for Tosefes Malach. He said he didn't understand what that meant. Just like he didn't understand that Magen Mishnah, that the Rambam holds there's only a din of Tosefes on the Inuyim. No din of Tosefes on the Malach. It doesn't make any sense. He thought the Makeves HaMishnah was right. It's one Mechai for both. So what do you mean you need Tosefes 30 minutes for the Inuyim and 30 minutes for the Malacha? It's the same Kedusha Sayyar. But that was the practice they used to have. They used to bench licht and stop eating Erev Yom Kippur 60 minutes before the sun sets. After the sun sets, that's already Bein HaShemashas. And on a regular Shabbos and Yom Tov, they would bench licht and stop doing Malacha 30 minutes before the Shkir. By Yosef is Shvach HaMais. We always, every Shabbos and Yom Tov, we always daven Mincha late in the afternoon, and then we Chazaras Hashatz. Sometimes the Chazan doesn't finish the Chazaras Hashatz before the Shkia. So that's a problem. There was a Shadas Hachuva Sefer written by a great Goyen, the Kozher Glover Goyen, who was killed by the Nazis in the Warsaw Ghetto. So he was the Rabban Kozher Glover before the First World War. Then after the war, there was no more Kozher Glover, I think. So he was invited by Meir Shapira to be the top Rosh Yeshiva in the Lublin Yeshiva. She was Chachme Lublin. So he has a beautiful Shadas Tshuvas Eretz Tzvi. And a lot of the Tshuvas are to defend the Minhagim that are commonly practiced. Like he has one Tshuva, how a Kohanim permitted to go on an airplane, isn't the airplane going to go over a cemetery? If you're going to go 5,000 miles, aren't you vada going to go over a dead body? So Mason Mamatami Bo, how can he go? So he has a long Tshuva about that. So he has a tshuva about this, says he participated in the Knesia Gdoila of the Aguda, and whoever was then the Gera Rebbe, I guess the Imre Yemes, Gera Rebbe came to him and he asked him, we daven mincha so late on Friday afternoon, you can't daven mincha shal chol after you mekabel Shabbos. So you have to be mekabel Shabbos after you daven mincha. We daven mincha after the Shkia already. So where's the Tosefes Shabbos? And he began daven mincha before the Shkia. How much Tosefes Shabbos are you going to have already? How much is Tosefes Shabbos? So Rav Soloveitchik said, where he came from, they used to have Tosefes Shabbos 30 minutes. Where does the 30 minutes come from? So that's already the Achronim quote. There's a Sefer Maimar Mordechai on Orach Chaim. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Maimar Mordechai all the time. I don't know how he had a Maimar Mordechai. Maimar Mordechai was a Sefer written in the 1800s by a French Sfardish Goyen. How did he get it? How did the Sefer arrive from France to Poland? I don't know. But he quotes that on every page. The Mishnah Berurah quotes this Maimar Mordechai. Maimar Mordechai says, he quotes a Tosfos in Beitza, Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. What Tosfos says from the Gemara would appear that there's a specific amount of time that is supposed to be mosif mechayev avakodesh. There's a minimum amount of time. It's usually assumed amashu. He wait half a minute, Tosefes Shabbos. So Tosfos says, but from the Gemara would appear that there's a specific amount of time. They don't know how much time. So the Maimar Mordechai quotes the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz. Now it's printed. When he wrote it, it was in manuscript. Now everybody has their Rabbeinu Peretz. Rabbeinu Peretz says he thinks that it's 30 minutes. The zman of Tosefes Shabbos, Tosefes Yontov is 30 minutes. You should really have to daven mincha before. And then after you finish davening tefillah schol, then you should be mekabel Shabbos and Yontov 30 minutes before the shkir. 30 minutes is the shir samach. Lo yochel adam samach lachashecha. Whenever there's a din of samach, so samach is 30 minutes. So that's what the Rabbeinu Peretz thinks, that over here also, the zman of Tosefes is 30 minutes before. Quite a zahiris to be makabel Shabbos there. Rav Soloveitchik used to dab mincha early. In the later years of his life, after his wife passed away, so he stayed by his daughter. So his son-in-law was Chassidus Rebbe, Rabbi Tversky. So they dab mincha doomsday. They dab mincha after the shkia by the Chassidus. So he would always dab mincha way before he would be makabel Shabbos, 30 minutes before the shkia, because after the shkia is already bein hashmashos. On Daf Lamed Amud Aleph in Beitza, the same place where Tosfos says they don't know what the shear is, how much time, Rabbeinu Peretz says he thinks that it's 30 minutes. And 30 minutes, that's the shear of someone. So Erev Rosh Hashanah, some Achrayim have an Einfa. It's not proper to be Moisif Mechoel of HaKodesh, because Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin. So genuk that you have a Yom HaDin for 24 hours. Who needs it for 24 and a half hours? So a very questionable argument. What do you mean? If it's a mitzvah and a Torah, to be Moshe Mechoel of HaKadosh, so you have to add on another half hour.
A Kohen is traveling to Israel on a flight. Is he obligated to ask if there's a mace in the car?
He really ought to. He really ought to. Yeah. They have special flights from New Jersey. They don't take mace. So I have a son-in-law who's a Kohen. His name is Cohen. And he's a Kohen. So he always takes, and he lives in New Jersey. So he always takes the flights from Newark. The flights from Newark, I think, don't have any mason. Only that they arrange it special, but it's not. But it's still a problem. It's going to go so far. It's going to go. How is the shach not to go over a cemetery? And three sides, Kennedy Airport on three sides has all the Jewish cemeteries. On the eastern side is the ocean, but three sides of us. If the plane circles around, if the plane's going to California, you're always going to go over a Jewish cemetery. So that's a problem. That's what the Kosher Globe has, all simon. And the safety tries to defend it. Let me just conclude with this. Erev Sukkis, let's say you daven early Erev Sukkis, you come home and you want to say Kiddush when the sun is still shining. So the Ramah says, if you shouldn't say Kiddush until Vaday Laila, Tzeisach Kachovim, because just like on Pesach night, the din is, but Erev Tochle Matzahs, you can't be Yotzi Matzah during this man of Tosefes. And you can't eat Korban Pesach during this month of the service. V'achlas habasa balayla hazeh, only balayla. That's what Tosfos says. Not all the Rishonim agree, but that's what Tosfos says. So too, there's a gzereshah b'chamishasah hamishasah. We make a connection between the first night of Sukkot and the first night of Pesach. So you're not yotzeh the mitzvah v'achila b'sukkah, the first night of Sukkot, unless you eat after tzeisah kocham. So what's the problem? So the Ramah says, no, but you can't say the bracha leishah b'sukkah. Usually we want to enhance the significance of the bracha leishah b'sukkah that we say it over a cup of wine. The Gemara says, Shechiyonah, you can say while you're walking in the street. So why do we save it at the end of the Kiddush on Yontif and Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot? Why? The Gemara says, you enhance the chashivas of the bracha by making it into a bracha ala kost. You say Shechiyonah. The same thing leishah b'sukkah, you enhance the significance of the bracha by saying it ala kost. But if it's only bein hashmashes, then the Ramah says, because it is a Rishavah HaMishas, he can't say the Bracha Leishah Basukah during this man of Ben Ashmashin, so he says you shouldn't say Kiddush till Laila. So they did away with Tosefis on Rosh Hashanah because they don't like Yom Adin, they don't want to make. Then they did away no more Tosefis on Sukkos because they don't want to say Kiddush till Laila. Everybody chisels away on the Tosefis, and the Vayla the Shulchan Aruch quotes a mitzvah lehos mechol al haKiddush. We don't do the mitzvah on Shabbosim. Hardly anybody does any Tosefis. What do you add on? How much time do you have at the end of Mincha till the Shkia? Hardly any time at all. I want to wish everybody a good year. We all have to dab in this situation. And